In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Well, good morning. I trust that you had a good night's rest. Possibly you're just getting off work, or maybe you're driving to work today. And thank you for joining VCY and the Word for Life broadcast, which is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. And we're thankful that you're able to join us this morning. My name is Ken Kelder. I'm pastor at Brookside. I'm in studio with Pastor Wade Coolin, our administrative pastor. So, Pastor Wade, good to have you, and thank you for joining us.
Delighted to be here.
Continue to pray for Jack Gardner, who really is our producer, is not yet back with us, with his family going through some physical issues. Ron Namey, who is on staff with us at Brookside, is doing all the production part of it, and so we're thankful for Ron and his willingness to be involved with us. Well, we're coming through, we're marching through the month of December, heading into the new year here soon, but we still have some things going on here at Brookside during this Christmas season, and so Pastor Wade, why don't you bring us up to speed with that?
Yes, this Sunday, Sunday evening, will be the Children's Christmas Program at 6 p.m., and I might add that they've been working on this for quite some time. We have folks working with them with music, and it's just going to be a time of great encouragement. If you're encouraged by children learning God's Word, sharing God's Word, and being taught to live God's Word, you'll be encouraged. Then, of course, the Christmas Eve this year is on Saturday. And so we're going to be having a candlelight service at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and we're going to conclude that with candles and singing some appropriate Christmas carols. And of course, Christmas Sunday is Sunday, and we're going to have a unified service, whereas we usually have morning service at 9 and 10:15, we're going to have a unified service at 10 a.m., on Christmas Day, and we'll not have an evening service that day.
Well, we look forward to the times that we can obviously get together and fellowship with the Lord. If you can't join us in person, join us online and go to Brookside's web, and that will give you instructions how to view our streaming. If you have a church home, then you be faithful and be an encouragement to your pastor and involved in the ministry there. As we're continuing on in our study of Joshua, I'm reminded of one of the statements my dad would make with me often. He would say, "Ken, you finish the job." So often we get halfway through something, we don't quite finish it. And we're in the study here of Joshua and the children of Israel going in to possess the lands of Canaan. That was what God had promised them to do. That had been an issue all the way back to Moses when they didn't go do that because they thought the people of the land were greater and that they couldn't take over the land. And God had to teach them some difficult lessons through that no, I told you it's your land. I'm going to take you into your land, and you have to believe me and trust me. And so here Joshua is the one doing that. Makes this pact with the Gibeonites after he's deceived in chapter 9. And then, lo and behold, chapter 10, he had no idea that decision would mean we got to go protect the Gibeonites because there was a coalition that said, "Hey, you guys have left our coalition and you're siding with Joshua and Israel and we're going to make you pay." And so Joshua and his men hiked 25 miles through mountainous terrain all night, get to the battle there at Gibeon. God has told Joshua, "Don't be afraid. I'm going to deliver him into your hand." The battle starts. They got to be tired after all their night track, and God did deliver him. He delivered him through a hailstorm with hailstones, and many of the Amorites were killed through the hailstones more than they were the sword of the men of Israel. Joshua said, "God, I need more time." God stopped the sun and gave them more light, and they're working on finishing the job, and so then they had to track down these kings.
So the kings apparently are all together, and they take off. and they find a place to hide while the rest of their armies are being routed, killed, and so they're taking care of number one.
Yeah.
And they hide out in this cave. And so it was told Joshua in verse 17 that the kings are hiding out in this cave in Makeda. So oftentimes when doing the will of God, there are good things that arise that can distract you from the job at hand. Pastor mentioned here about his father saying, finish the job. Well, here's a distraction to break off from completing the job of destroying the army and to have some fun, I guess, with the kings. Joshua kept on, and he had, in verse 18, a stone rolled in front of the cave mouth and set a guard there, and they were going to save them for later when they got the job done. And as it turned out, that the children of Israel destroyed these cities and their people in obedience to what Moses had told them to do. And then they came back to the cave. And in verse 22, Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring those five kings to me in the cave. So he finished the job. Now he's going to deal with the kings. You know, there's a time to break off and to rest or do something else, but we need to finish what God has called us to do. Let me ask you, what has God called you to do in your life? And are you facing distractions that may be good in and of themselves, but they're keeping you from finishing the job? Joshua didn't. And there can be times after you finish the job at hand that you can go back to those other good things and take care of them. So in verse 22, they go back to the cave and bring those kings out. And they're all listed, and Joshua has all the men of Israel come by captains, and they came near and put their feet on the necks of these kings, thus humiliating them, showing to them and to all the army what God has done in defeating God's enemies. And then we read in verse 26 that afterward Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging on the trees until evening. Joshua believed God's word. He trusted God's word, and Moses told them in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23, that those who are guilty are to be killed and their bodies hung on a tree, but just for the day, and then to be taken down, because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And so Joshua is showing that these men and these nations are accursed. Joshua's following God's word. And you know, that's always the safest place to be, following God's word. You know, many of us love to quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that we not lean on our own understanding, but that we acknowledge him, we acknowledge his word, and then he'll direct our paths. So what I see in Joshua is something that I can do, we all can do, and that's called simple obedience.
Yeah, and the contrast, though, Pastor Wade, is pretty great between Joshua and Saul, with how Saul responded, you know, with the king of Agag.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. The Amalekites attacked Israel when they were in the wilderness, and God set a curse on them. He wanted them all destroyed. And during the reign of King Saul, he had the opportunity to destroy them all. And he nearly did, partially. But he saved the king, and he saved all their livestock. And this is the contrast. Joshua obeyed God simply. He didn't try to finesse anything. He didn't try to change things just a little bit to his advantage. He simply obeyed, whereas Saul thought, why, all these animals, they're valuable, and if you're a king, to have another king under you as almost a token, like a trophy, is cool in those days. So I'm going to save him alive as my trophy. No, God told him to kill him.
Yeah. And Joshua is a great example of just simple obedience. And it wasn't necessarily easy, but it was what he followed the Lord. And the psalmist over and over, I mean, in Psalm 50, says, "The mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down." I mean, God's in control of it all. We see he's in control of the sun here in Joshua 10. The psalmist said, "Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare his praise?" Psalm 145, verse 6 says, "Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness." God wanted the next generation to know of his power and his greatness by the previous generation. And I can tell you, as a family, what you can declare concerning the witnessing of the power of God through times of impossibilities will have a profound impact upon your children and your children's children. I mean, seeing God's power is one of the greatest revelations of God himself. I mean, it's a great testimony for our church families. It's a great testimony for our personal families. But I got to admit, we watch way too much TV. Mm. And TV really depicts life without God, and pretty soon this is how we live.
Yes.
And since arriving in the land, Israel, going into the land of Canaan, God has justifiably shown off his might to prove this powerful theological point to all the Canaanites and to Israel. Because once again, remember, the Canaanite god was Baal, which was considered this great, you know, god that controlled the weather and controlled the storms, and God is showing, no, I control all of that. And I recall that the Chinese evangelist, Lilong Wong, who kept three verses at the top of his personal stationery. Joshua 10:13, the sun stood still. 2 Kings 6:6, the iron did float. And Psalm 48:14, this God is our God. I mean, what great news, not only for Joshua that God is God, but what great news for us that God is God, and he is still God today, and nothing is impossible when we put our trust in him. And so as we're getting ready to move on through chapter 10, we're going to pick up God's pleasure through our dependence on him. So we'll pick that up in our next broadcast. But let me just say that God does take great pleasure when we come to him and we obey him. Going back to King Saul, that's where you find out that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That when you rebel against what God said, that is how God describes that particular sin. And what an encouragement Joshua and others are in their obedience. I trust that we will be obedient in the days and the weeks and the years to follow. Thank you for joining us here for the Word for Life. Have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.